Come aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Yes. And George Clooney's okay, just in case people were wondering.
I was really very concerned about it for a very long time.
Nothing ever goes right for George Clooney.
That poor guy. That, right. It is so true.
Poor George.
I know.
I mean, it's the scooter accident. What else does he need?
Yeah.
You know? It's just,
He got an owie. He has a scooter pile up, and he scratches, like, his internal calf or something, and, like, the one place that no one will ever see it.
Yeah. He still looks good, in case you're wondering.
Amal Clooney's husband involved in a traffic accident.
That's as he's now known.
Yeah. I just think that I'm not a fan.
Of what? George Clooney?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a fan of George Clooney.
Me too.
I am not a fan of the moped-ish kind of Vespa-y European kind of bike.
Because of safety reasons, is that what you're going with here? Because you're right. You versus a vehicle, what happens?
Right. It doesn't have the capabilities of a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the key to a motorcycle is to avoid the accident that's about to happen. Although motorcycles, I'm not a big fan of that either. I understand they're fun. I get it. I understand the whole, like, you know, get your motor running out on the highway kind of, you know, thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the vibration of the seat, I know, is very exhilarating for some people. But it just seems like it's death waiting to happen.
Well, and he was on a major, it looked like a highway. He wasn't just on the side streets, you know?
Right. Well, remember the, you know, the Vespa, mm-hmm. almost, Melania almost got swept off her feet by the Vespa guy.
Mm-hmm. The boom, boom, boom guy.
Yeah.
Remember him back in the old country? That was one of the first boyfriends.
I kind of feel like they were sneaking around through alleys, not the highway.
Boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling on the Vespa.
Remember, it was one of the funniest things ever, because the guy was telling the story about it. He was Melania's ex-boyfriend, right, after during the campaign, and it was like, and they see her, and then they turn Vespa around, and they come to her, and I say, baby, you are so beautiful. She gets on my Vespa, we ride off. Which, you know, that's like, isn't that the plot of Mamma Mia?
Sort of, yeah, except they're older women, I suppose.
Well, they weren't back in the day.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I couldn't do the Vespa. No. I'd screw it up. I'd just crash it. I don't know. I'm terrible with things like that. We used to ride a go-pet as a kid. Crash that. Got on my friend's dirt bike. Crash that.
Well, maybe you were just reckless.
I never knew anybody. Anybody I've ever known who's owned a motorcycle and rides it regularly has some hair-raising story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they all have the story about the time they almost died.
Wow.
I don't really have that in my car.
I don't like to have that in general. I mean, you know, I just think about that. Right.
It's not fun to think about that.
Yeah. Anna, I am with you on that.
I had a Vespa, though, and I did drive it around the city. And everyone.
You had a Vespa?
I had a Vespa, and everybody.
Oh, we did a source.
I see Anna on a Vespa.
I used to drive it all the time.
Yeah, but
I
you drove it more like a bike, right? Alongside streets.
Yes. Well, yes, you're right. I stayed off the main roads, and I was sort of, but I went, like, you know, throughout the city. I would never get on. You couldn't even go on a highway because it wasn't.
I wanted a Vespa.
Accelerate.
Vespas are big now. I see a bunch of them around the city.
They're so cute.
I had a friend who had a Vespa, bought a Vespa, and he had a sidecar.
So I'm like, for his dog?
Right, no, for his wife. And
that's awesome.
I'm like, I don't think she's going to want to get in this thing.
Maybe a Harley with a sidecar.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so he had the sidecar, and they decided they're going to go to lunch.
Yeah.
Like out in the. Like,
out in the real
like,
world?
Like out on the northwest side, you know, and they live downtown. And so he's on his Vespa.
Like
and his helmet matched the same color of his Vespa.
Was it mint green by any chance?
It was mint green. It's exactly mint green.
I love that one.
Mm-hmm. And the sidecar, and it started to rain.
Oh my! Well, she can open up an umbrella on her sidecar.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work. So it's like I don't understand the point.
Disaster.
Yeah,
yeah, they do look cute, but you're right.
Only if you're, you know, Jimmy from Quadrophenia, do you get to ride a Vespa and it's cool.
If you're in the sidecar, can you have a drink or no? I mean, you're just a passenger. Oh no, wait, you can't. Never mind. Hold on. Rewind. Pretend I didn't start talking.
She is the traffic reporter.
I
would like to, for those of you new to the program, I want to introduce that little girl voice.
You can't drink in the car at any point.
That is Violetta Podomatic. She is our traffic reporter who is asking the question, can you drink in the car if you're the passenger or in the sidecar?
Well, safety first.
Technically, you're not in the car, right? I get where she's going with this.
I think anything moving that's motorized, alcohol.
Kev, we get it. She's wrong.
Explanation not needed.
Right, we don't need to explain it. Second. We just need to make the point that she does not know what she's talking about. All right. That was great.
Well, we hope that George Clooney makes a full recovery. It appears that he will. No broken bones. He did crack his helmet. I mean, he wore the helmet.
So he wore a helmet, kids.
As long as his face is okay.
Face is perfect. Yes. It really just double, triple checked for you, Judy. And
Thank you.
He's also a great director, too. Mm. I mean,
I think he's great at making tequila, turned out.
Yeah, right, because he was the one making it. Right, because he was working really hard.
$1 billion off of it.
Yes, he did do that. That he did. But there is there's an interesting, you know, I think component to him because he's a little accident prone. When he was making Syriana, where he was playing Bob Bear, our contributor on this program,
sure.
he hurt his back in one of the scenes because he did his own stunt when he was being when he was being tortured by the bad guys, and he was on a chair and they flip him over on the chair and he was actually in that and he jacked up his back so badly that they had to stop filming. He had to pass on his next movie.
Oh my gosh!
He had all kinds of problems.
Yeah.
So now he's wrecking his Vespa.
Well, you wonder if Amal's going to make him get rid of the scooter thing now. That's what sometimes wives do that and husbands do it too. You know, you just you start worrying about them. They have an accident. And you're like, okay. Close call.
You know, we should
ditch the bike,
George. What we should get you to get you a driver in a Mercedes. I would like you to meet Henri Paul. Henri, here's George. Henri Paul Jr. George Clooney. Who should we see about that? All right, let us now stop and find out from Judy what's coming up in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour.
CPD morning, one of its own.
Violetta.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, that is, and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN-TV News at 5, 6, 9, and 10.
Ben Bradley, don't talk. Hey, stop
Ben,
talking.
You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Were you getting snarky?
Am I getting snarky?
No, that's what I was just chatting with a producer about. Trying to figure out who's being snarky. You know how it is.
What's
going on?
We are on the air. Behave like you are on the air, Ben Bradley at WGN-TV News.
Oh, it has been a day.
All right. Well, tell Uncle Ro. What happened?
Yeah, why today? What's going on?
Tell Daddy.
No, we actually had a really fun day. So the WGN Morning News Block Party live from Homewood is coming up on Friday. And
weren't you live from Homewood at one point? Aren't you from there?
I was born and raised, in the greater Homewood Flossmore metropolitan area.
Uh-huh.
And
Metroplex.
Yeah, so they asked me to go down and kind of do a whole series of pieces on what makes Homewood so special. And we had so much fun. We went to the Homewood Bat Company, which I never knew existed. It just opened about 3 years ago. This is a guy who used to be in the trucking business and has always been interested in baseball, but more specifically bats and what gives certain bats more power than others. And so he turned his kind of hobby and passion 3 years ago into a business, created the Homewood Bat Company, where they manufacture bats that are so good they're used by a bunch of major league and other professional baseball players. Wilson Contreras, Addison Russell, Yolmer Sanchez, you know, a bunch of guys are using these bats that are made 30 minutes south of the city.
Wow.
In
cool.
Homewood. So we got to see that process.
Mm-hmm.
We also went over to Homewood Flossmore.
He seems legitimately enthusiastic about this, which kind of surprises me because I've never known him to be legitimately anything. So this is
legitimately snarky sometimes.
Yeah, apparently.
No, it's just fun to see, and it's fun to highlight where you grew up, and it's always fun to go back. So that's what was so special about today.
I saw you visit your high school radio station. You said that there were some rules that they have in place that might also benefit other news teams and radio stations across the city.
I did find it ironic that my high school radio station apparently had stricter rules for on-air performance than some television stations I've worked at. Starting with, you're not allowed to curse on the air.
That was good news for you, yeah.
Think before you speak, which,
You want me to get a copy? Applied to you. Thank you before I speak.
What?
Yeah. Look, I attended there and passed there, for the record.
Yeah, food or drinks allowed in the studio. Don't be late for the show.
Yeah, don't be late for the show. There you go. There's another one we could all benefit from. No, it was such a great broadcasting program down there. At the time, it was the highest-powered high school radio station in the country.
Wow.
WHFH-FM, your home for Southside Rock.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
I remember working there back in the 70s, and I used to show my backpack with my Jack Daniels and my pistol and my, yeah, my handcuffs.
We knew we were old when we walked in. I was like, I remember there used to be records up along all these walls. What happened to those? And the kid just looked at me. He goes, do you mean CDs? And I said, no.
Radio Man, did you give away family four packs to see the high school football team play?
HF, I got a family four pack. Are you going to see HF?
But 720. No, but when you worked at the radio station, you could bring a date up into the press box for the high school football
game. Oh, yeah, I had a lot of dates in the studio on the overnight shift, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They were dates?
If you played Stairway to Heaven there, the longest song known to humankind.
Did she know she was on a date with you?
Ro, you remember a time when the ladies were impressed by a guy spinning records in a room all by himself late at night?
Oh, I sure do.
Yeah.
And you know what? You could get all kinds of crazy kind of lovemaking done during the fourth set of quadrophenia.
Ben, do you recall when you were in school there at Homeward Philosopher, did you ever have like a radio guy come talk to you who was in the real world?
No, I think the biggest excitement we had at HF when I was there was HF was the first school in the country to begin random drug testing of athletes. And so, like, all the media descended on HF for the first day it started. I remember Ray Suarez, who was at Channel 5 at the time, was there to, like, interview kids. And I was sitting there trying to interview him and ask him for a job the whole time. And he seemed genuinely annoyed by the whole thing. So
didn't go anywhere with that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, it was a great place. And then we finished the day at Aurelio's Pizza.
Oh, which, sure.
Oh, geez.
Of course, born and raised in Homewood, you went to Aurelio's at least 9 nights a week.
Yeah.
The original run by Joe Aurelio's son, Joe.
They finally have a Northside Aurelio's.
Just right opened one up in Wrigleyville. Yeah. I mean, they have, I think, 41 or 42 restaurants in 6 states now. And this all started in Homewood.
I know. It's amazing.
It is.
Yeah, they're in Phoenix, right? They're
They've got Arizona, Las Vegas, Florida.
Naples, Florida.
Best pepperoni in the game.
I've been to the Naples, Florida one. They're not all, you know, the funny thing is that I hate to say it, but I still think the best one is down there. Because it's got, like, the oldest ovens or something.
Right.
Know?
Well, I'll rank them for you if you want. So Homewood is obviously the best. You got to ask for it in the old oven because it's cooked differently in the old oven.
Yeah.
LaGrange is great. Frankfurt's great. Bourbon A is great. And the rest of them are all really, really good. But, you know, there is a slight difference. Yeah. Yeah. And, hey, you don't get this many chins by not having a top five Aurelio's pizza.
Yeah, no, you know your pizza.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well done.
I
love it.
Yeah, no, he's right about that. And I endorse your position on that.
Yes. We are excited to bring it all to you Friday morning on the WGN Morning News Block Party live from downtown Homewood.
All right. Thank you, Benjamin.
Can I tell you about a quick story you'll
love,
Ro?
Yes.
Coming up at 4 o'clock today, WGN Investigates exclusive. Cook County judge caught walking into the courthouse, drops a gun in the lobby.
I forgot that I placed it in my waistband when I got dressed this morning.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
I mean,
do they go through metal detectors, the judges?
No, typically they just get waved through. And this guy had a concealed carry permit, but even a judge not allowed to have a gun in the courthouse. So he was charged with a misdemeanor.
Oh, I like the idea of a judge, though, sitting behind the bench. All right, everybody, shut up in here.
Well,
put a few in the ceiling.
We were all in the newsroom here. This is what we were talking about right when you came to us. Just looking at the video, which we just got our hands on. And the judge is so nonchalant when he drops the gun. He just kind of picks it up. The sheriff's deputy kind of sees it as she's escorting a prisoner. And it's like, did that just happen? So we'll show that to you coming up on the news.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
All righty.
All right. Right now, we've got Judy Palak standing by with the WGN Radio News and Tips. Concho with Anna DeBlanzas right here on 720 WGN. Hey, I want to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Keep listening after 4 o'clock, just coming up in 18 minutes, for your chance to win a family four-pack of passes. Yeah, family four-pack. And it's passes to the Blackhawks convention. Hold on. My brain's melting. That's going to be at the Hilton Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at chicagoblackhawks.com. All right.
Very cool.
Okay.
We'll be there.
Yes.
At the convention.
Yes, we will.
Looking forward to it, as we do every year.
All right, Pat Brady used to run the Republican Party of the state of Illinois, mm-hmm. and he's stepped into our beautiful WGN Allstate Skyline Studios here at the corner of Chicago River, and we are actually overlooking heaven right now. I think it's the way to look at that.
That backdrop with you two is quite a picture.
Yeah, feeling close to heaven right now, aren't you, Pat Brady?
Must be good for the air show, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's hold on.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, kind of. You miss the center show part. Yeah, hold on.
But practice day, right?
Oh, it's going to be loud. And we have the studio configured so that it's really soundproof. They have these windows that are 600 pounds a piece.
No kidding.
Yeah, to create quiet from the street here. You know, we're 18 stories above it, but it still could be very loud. It's not going to work when the fighter
Sonic
jets
boom.
Go past you.
Yeah, it's not.
So be fun. So let's for that in August. Wait, is that coming up? Can I give away a 4-pack?
You certainly can, cheesy radio guy.
All right,
let's talk about it in August.
I don't think I'm going to live that long.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Brett Kavanaugh. You have some thoughts on this. You were in the Justice Department at some point. You're familiar with the Supreme Court. That's the big court, by the way.
Yes.
And you've been overturned in that a number of times, I'm sure.
No, just in the Ninth Circuit Appellate Court. Okay. It's usually that's enough, young man, at the trial court, and then it's the... can I tell you the number of times I can wake up out of a sleep? That's enough, young man. That's enough, young man.
Yeah, the times you've heard that in your life.
Yes.
Even after you turned 50, it was that's enough, young man.
No, it's just what? That's just shut up. Yeah. When I was young, they called me young man.
All right, so what do we make of this?
I think it's a great pick. It's a great win for conservatives. And during the course of this campaign, often people would say to me that I was obviously not a big Trump guy, that it's most important to pack the Supreme Court with conservatives, and they've succeeded. There's a great article today, though, in the New York Times that David Brooks wrote about the actual farm team that the conservative think tanks have developed to have candidates like this that will be consistent conservatives. You won't get them as state conservatives like we've had historically, some picks.
Suter.
Or even going back to Eisenhower with some of the or even maybe some of Reagan's picks, arguably, but Suter comes to mind first of all. But this is a real good farm team. This is a big win. And it took 30 years for this to come to fruition. But give the conservatives, the Federal Society people, and others credit. They came up with this concept, and it's working. And unfortunately, we have a president there that will actually make the pick.
You're hearing from Democrats that they're replacing a swing vote like Kennedy with someone more right, farther right, like Kavanaugh is bad news to them and that kind of thing. How much more far right do you think Kavanaugh would introduce in terms of a perspective to this court?
It's probably the same as Gorsuch. You never know until they get there. But I think he's a guy, the reason I like him so much is he's a guy that likes to read the Constitution, read the law that he's trying to interpret, and weigh that against the Constitution, not create law, which is what the Democrats did in the 60s. The court should be there to interpret the Constitution as it bumps up against laws that are presented to them. That's very simple, and that's what I like about it. So when they want to make the argument, oh, it's all bad for us, no, this is good for the Constitution and good for the country. We need to get back to what the court mm-hmm. was supposed to be, in my opinion.
Oh, you're so wrong about that. Let's talk.
I'm sure there are those who disagree.
Let's talk about this whole idea, which is going to be a big question. He's going to be asked in open hearings here about law that has already been passed. It's, you know, decisions already made by
stare decisis.
Yes, which is a whole, you know, decided law. So, do you think that there are going to be cultural changes here in America? Everybody keeps talking about abortion, but there are other things here as well. Affirmative action, other kinds of social issues from the last 30, 40, 50 years that may be up for debate or to be challenged here.
I'm sure that there will be challenges, and I'm sure there will be a debate. And maybe, but it's so hard, and the court typically, in my experience reading into the court, they typically don't reverse rights that they've conferred. Like Roe versus Wade, what came out of Roe versus Wade is a woman's right to privacy.
Right.
Boom, that's a right. All these other rights, the affirmative action rights, the amendments, the Civil War amendments that granted all the
freed the slaves and granted all these other rights. Those are constitutional rights. And it's very rare does the court say, we're not going to give you that right anymore. Now, Roe versus Wade, having read that 30 times in undergrad and 25 times in law school, is pretty tortured logic to get to that right to privacy. But it's been affirmed since then. And I think that I really don't think it's in jeopardy. They do overturn it. It all goes back to the states.
Did you see Senator Durbin also was telling red state Democrats that, you know, vote against Kavanaugh. This you put your yourself over the party. Basically, even if your voters want this, that even if you don't get elected, even if that's what it costs, don't support this candidate for Supreme Court. But what would you say? Is there any jeopardy here, do you think, that he won't get confirmed?
Not unless he really does not do well at the hearings. We have the 50 votes. The two swing votes, I think, will stay because they chose this guy. I thought Amy Barrett was going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. But with this guy who just was confirmed, 10 years ago?
Right.
Barrett just made it into a courtroom like a month and a half ago, right? Isn't that the case?
I know. Another thing that hasn't really been talked about too much today is he came out of the Bush administration. I know there was some talk about, that's bad for the base. But to me, it's like, wow, Republicans are actually unified. The Trump ran as an anti-Bush guy. The Bush people are thrilled with this pick. I'm thrilled with this pick. Mm-hmm. The people that weren't real Trump people are really thrilled with this. I think he gets a lot of momentum out of it. And the reality is the Democrats put themselves in this box. Had they not changed the rules, this would be a debate. But you get the game's up. And, you know, Joe Manchin, how's he going to vote? The Democrat from Pennsylvania where Trump
won. The 60 vote. They put themselves in this box where now it's a simple majority vote.
Yeah, it's 50 votes. Even with McCain being absent, we've got 50 votes. And Joe Manchin, who Trump carried Pennsylvania by 41 points, I think. Mm-hmm. Is he going to vote against this guy?
Real pressure on him, for sure.
Yeah, there's others, too.
Let me throw something at you. Let me throw one more thing. Since you're a former, you ran the Republican Party in Illinois, but you're a former federal prosecutor. Mr. Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh's position on the writing of the issues surrounding the impeachment of Bill Clinton is an interesting twist here.
About he thought it was a distraction. You know what? I'm not sure if that was dicta in the case where he was just offering kind of an opinion that didn't really.
I think it's like a brief.
Yeah, right? Not the force of law, but there is, and I've made this point before, because of the impeachment hearing, which I fully support like every other Republican at the time, we took our eye off the ball on what was going on with Osama bin Laden and some other things. Right. So I think there's a very good argument to be made that these investigations can be a distraction.
Yeah.
But you got to balance that against the rule of law.
But what if the rule of law has been broken by the president? Is there no? I mean, there's an argument. Alan Dershowitz is right. It has a new book out in which he makes the argument. It doesn't matter if the president even colluded with Russia or broke the law. You can't. The power of the president is supreme, and therefore you can't. While he's in office, the only remedy there is impeachment. And even under those circumstances, you have to be able to. You know that's a political move. It's a political office. Political move. You can. Try to indict him later after he's out of office.
Well, I've watched and listened to him for the last year wondering what the agenda is, and I don't agree with. I mean, the case has been briefed and argued before the United States Supreme Court in the Nixon era, but they never really decided. It's an open question whether you can indict a sitting president. I still don't think they're going to indict him unless they can really prove up a collusion, which no one's seen yet.
Well, there might be money laundering, and there might also, it may not even be collusion. What if they get him on? There's a raft of things I'm sure that Michael Cohen can present to them for things that he did prior to being president of the United States that have nothing to do with that. What do you do in that? Because the Clinton thing was about.
Yeah, you wait till he's out. I think Mueller is a patriot. When the people have a lot of criticism, I'm not one of them. The guy left Dartmouth or wherever he was, Ivy League, to go to Vietnam. My first case as a prosecutor, I was on his team. He's a patriot. He'll do the right thing. But I don't think any president's above the law. I respectfully disagree with Alan Dershowitz.
You're totally wrong about that. Totally, totally wrong.
I'm still waiting for Dershowitz. I thought Dershowitz would get this spot, given he's been out there shilling for him for a year now.
He certainly has been out there for
a while. Well, we thought Judge Judy was going to get it for a while.
I had Judge Pirro on the list.
Yeah.
Because very close relationship there. Yeah. I mean,
Dershowitz was on, I think, last week or 2 weeks with you guys.
Yeah.
And he was going on about that the Supreme Court truly doesn't impact people's lives.
I'm like, I was stunned by
Roe versus Wade, Brown versus Board of Education,
even the union
Gideon
decision
versus Wainwright
that was made the
yeah
other day.
All these things.
Yeah. Yes.
I thought that was a very bizarre opinion, but you respect.
I can't. Like that, I'm with you.
I was almost going to text you, Roe, but I didn't have your number.
No, thank God. I have known him for 30 years, and I have worked with him. I used to fill in on his show on the Sony Network. As his, I, you know, replacing him And I don't know why they were using me to answer legal questions.
Well, you were going to be a Harvard law professor.
I was going to be a Harvard law
professor. But you couldn't
get in. It took a
different turn. Right. Well, for a lot of reasons. First of all, I don't know anything about the law, except for my own cases. I personally really like Alan Dershowitz. I think he's a great guy. I am with you on this. I do not understand what he's doing. He says it's all about, this is really all about the Constitution, and that as a constitutional scholar, he believes that all of these things that he's saying to be true, whether we like them or not. And there's a suck up kind of dynamic that surrounds the Donald Trump orbit.
Sure.
Everybody does.
Mm-hmm. And I don't understand what it's about.
If someone says something against him, I saw Geraldo say something on the show the other night. And he goes, and my dear friend, the president, he went on for like 4 minutes laying the ground.
Well,
and then he says something like he was afraid that he was going to.
Well, Vice President Pence, when he renounced Kavanaugh, he first thanked the president and talked about the president's accomplishments and then went on to Kavanaugh.
Yeah. Well, he knows. Listen,
there has never been
a bigger boot-licking vice president in the history of the vice presidency than Mike Pence. There really has. I've never seen a guy sublimate himself at that level. Like, it's the greatest honor of my life to be this man's vice president. Oh, come on. This is not going. I think it's very clear that even if Donald Trump wins a second term, there will be Trump fatigue. I think we're two years in and there's already Trump fatigue. And I think that Mike Pence is probably this is the apex of his political career here.
The thing is, and I agree with you on the Trump fatigue, but I said this to my Democrat friends the other day. It ain't working to be screaming at Trump all the time.
No.
We just had our second conservative Supreme Court pick. Well, I think we're going to hold the House, and we're definitely holding the Senate. If that happens, they got to come up with a better strategy than just, I hate Trump.
Well, they don't have a plan.
And the presidential candidates yet to emerge. Any of them you like on the Democratic side? You see that might be formidable.
He's a Republican.
You would think would be formidable to run against.
I think anybody is, given the environment, because it's a 50-50 world right now. There's a lot of far lefties coming out of that Democratic primary, and the country's just not there. And if Trump is,
I do like that young woman from New York who like wins the primary. She's like, I did what? I won the primary. I'm a socialist. They let a what?
Just stole Bernie Sanders' platform.
Yeah. You know, that got overstated though too in the impact, because I think there's 14, 15 seats where there actually are real liberal Democrats up that don't have a chance of winning.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll just leave it there. Thank you very much.
Appreciate
Pat Brady. All right, right now let's check in with Judy. Find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
New details regarding that Cook County Forest Preserve incident.
Violetta? Tom Skilling joins us right now from the WGN-TV Weather Center. Brought to you by Permaseal Basement Systems. Thank you, Tom, for all of that.
You know, Ro, I owe you an apology. I intended to show your picture last night on the air.
Oh, my God.
That you shot.
And you didn't?
No, and I didn't get it on. And there was a miscommunication in the office, but I promise you we'll get it on tonight.
There you go.
He risked his life to get that.
I know
picture.
He did.
He climbed a big tree. It looked like he was 30 feet up. He was clinging to it, and he took one of the most beautiful sunset pictures anyone's ever seen.
Yes. Probably batting
Thank
away
you.
The black bears up there and everything else.
Yes.
I know. It was like an Empire State Building type tree.
Yes.
You know,
there was cloud cover below me. I climbed all the way up.
I know.
I was the Sir Edmund Hillary of sunset shots.
You were.
Without a Sherpa.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Gas, you know, an oxygen mask, you know, to get, you know, enhance the oxygen
yes.
flow at
I
that
like
level,
the whole
that
thing.
Altitude.
Yeah. Swinging up. Hey, you know, speaking of heroic efforts.
Yeah.
Did you see that Elon Musk.
Yes.
Sent a submarine mm-hmm. to Thailand. It arrived just in time for the last person to get out of the cave alive.
Yeah.
And you got to hand it, by the way, to these to those rescuers, Thai Navy SEALs. They were amazing at what they did.
You know what, Ro? I went into those caves down in the Yucatan Peninsula, and I was down there a couple months ago. And it's the same sort of setup. You go down there, and at what point the guide said, turn off your little, you know, we had helmets on because you could bang your head on these stalactites and stalagmites and all the rest and really cut yourself and injure yourself. But we had lights on them, and he said, turn them off. And you can't see anything. And in the meantime, you're wading through water, cutting your feet and legs on the the rocks underneath them. And it's terrible. And
right.
You realize immediately that there was no way you could kind of feel your way out of that kind of thing. And they let these young people get way back into it, I guess. There.
Yeah.
And they were drinking the water from those stalactites in order to survive for 9 days. And
yeah.
You think about being in pitch black and without food, not knowing if people would, and you're young, you're kids.
I mean, and then here's another thought. You know, they have snakes and stuff in the water.
Oh, so, God.
You know, I'm not sure about Thailand, but we were saying, do they have anything swimming around in this water here? And they said, well, if you got deeper into the caves here, because they go way back and cover a lot of ground out in the Yucatan, they said, yeah, there are snakes and all down there, and ick.
I
know.
Yeah, who needs that? I'll tell you who doesn't need it. This guy right here. I'm not caving.
That's right. You'll climb a tree to, you know, up to 500 feet high, but...
I was required as part of we had to do a week. I always tell the story because it's the scariest and most formidable week of my life, and it's the only thing that makes you sound like a man. And I had to I went on Outward Bound in high school, right? 1 week Outward Bound, and one of the things we had to do was to climb through a cave.
Yeah.
Down in Merrimack Valley, Missouri, wherever the hell we were.
Wow.
And at night.
We had
the flashlights on our helmets.
Yeah.
And we had to go down. And the cave, at one point, you're climbing. You climb into it. And then you're on your belly, and it's just a tube that you're going through.
Oh, my gosh.
I felt like I was being born again. and you're going through. And one of the girls in back of me totally freaked out.
Oh, yeah. They're claustrophobia from
crying. Oh, my God. It was like... And then you know, I'm going to start screaming and crying because she's screaming and crying. And then, you know, it was awful. It was just...
But you survived it.
And think about it. You're down in the New Madrid Fault Zone down there. I always, when I go into those things, I think this is when the earthquake's going to hit, you know, and it's going to close up that little tiny compartment I just somehow squeezed through. And in this day and age, I'm not sure I could squeeze through half these things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a frightening thing.
Yeah.
Thank goodness those young people are out of there.
Major credit to those rescuers.
Great job.
Just think about
true.
That. I mean, I've done some difficult dives before, currents, night dives, things like that. But cave diving? Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Really
it's
dangerous.
Fascinating to go down there and see what's down there. But, wow, can you get you could really get yourself messed up. You know what else? We were showing some video of that Elon Musk submarine. Mm-hmm. And talk about claustrophobia.
Right.
I don't know. If I were a kid, I think I'd say I'm going to die here. I'm not going into that thing.
It's a kid-sized submarine, and it basically just fits a kid in like a capsule that just would make it through.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
How does Elon Musk have these things?
I know. I know. He has electrical grids for Puerto Rico. He's got rockets that land on ships.
This was made from part of a space exploration piece from one of his Falcon
rockets. How are they able to make it into a submarine like that?
I don't know.
Do they got a guy who's just there? Hey, Smitty.
Capsule that was intended for space that they retrofitted for a diving situation.
So
it was
you
sealed
pull it through? I mean, how do you...
They would pull it through with the kid in the capsule, and it would protect them. They would not be submerged in water.
You got to hand it to that guy. He is amazing, isn't he? The engineering skills he brings to it. To the whole... Every project he gets involved in. Because remember, in Puerto Rico, he set up solar electrical panels to try and bring power back to some areas in the wake of Maria. And that worked pretty well.
Now, is Puerto Rico still in line for a storm? Is that still kind of heading toward it?
They have the remnants of Beryl, and it's nothing to write home about. And by the way, in recent weeks, they have they've downgraded the forecast for the Atlantic Basin. And the thought is the ocean waters in the generation zone for hurricanes are cooler than they have been. And also, we've got an El Nino developing out in the Pacific, and that tends to strengthen the upper wind field over the Atlantic basin, the hurricane basin. And so, together,
all of
these,
that is detrimental to hurricane development?
Yes. It may mitigate, you know, it's one of the ironies of hurricanes that the biggest winds on Earth require a very calm environment to get their act together. And if you have anything, any sort of wind shear, these things just won't organize. The thunderstorm clusters will stay disorganized, and you won't get the kind of organization that these storms require to do what they do when they're mature. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Maybe this will be a quieter season.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
And because it was pretty scary to think. They still have so much trouble in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot get beyond, you know, so there are so many things that have not only gone wrong there, but have also been, were mishandled months ago that have resulted in loss of life and, you know, loss of property. It just, it's just a disaster.
It is.
On a disaster.
It is. And, wow. You know, and Irma, had it not made contact with Cuba when it went into Florida, the disaster there could have been magnified many times, too,
right.
Or the damage there. So, no, I agree with you, Ro. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, let's hope. Because it was, it's just, there was just so much damage last year. You know, you think of Houston, you think of what happened in parts of Florida.
Yeah.
It wasn't as bad. And then the worst part is, there's an entire mindset of people who, especially in Florida, and I don't know what this is about, because Florida just attracts people who have decided that they want to be able to live outside if they have to, right? It's warm enough that they're not going to freeze to death.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so there is a whole kind of you're not the boss of me element that lives in the Keys and in parts of South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sort of like, you know, they don't believe the media when we're telling them that this thing is coming here.
Right.
Well,
right.
It's fine. I'm going to just do fine. You people are lying about everything, so we don't got to worry about nothing. And the next thing you know, a 2x4 goes through the guy's forehead.
Right? Exactly.
Or rescue workers risk their lives to go and save the people who don't evacuate.
Well, you know, as a little kid, my family lived for a while out in New Jersey, and you go down to the Jersey Shore in the summer, and we encountered a couple of weak hurricanes, and the surfers would always come on, you know, in great numbers and be surfing the waves that came in with these things.
Yeah.
And it's the same sort of mindset you're describing, Ro. You know, it's just kind of a daredevil type mindset.
Yeah, well, that surfer thing, that's a totally... That's an offshoot of this.
I know.
That is like, these are people who have to live outside because they have no other skills that allow them to make enough money to actually have a roof over their head, but they do love the tasty waves.
Oh.
So that's what they're going to be about. There's a whole, in the north part of Oahu, there's an entire...
Oh, yeah.
Miles by miles by miles of shoreline where people are living in converted vans.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
Lean-tos and shacks. Because that's just what they want to do.
Yeah. It's true. Did you see that video? It was like a month and a half ago. This guy was surfing, I think it was a 120-foot wave out in Brazil, I think it was.
Tasty wave.
You look at this and you think, no way. I mean, how could you do that?
And there were people surfing it? There are pictures of that?
Yeah. There
what
was
happens
a guy
when it crests over you?
Yeah.
Don't you get crushed? If it's 120 feet. I saw that. The Perfect Storm. I saw what happened to George Clooney's boat.
Right.
It was worse than what happened to him on the Vespa. I'll tell you that right
Poor
now.
Poor devil. I know. You know, he's had a rough ride of it, hasn't he?
Yeah, his life.
Even
nothing's
in his
going
movies.
Right for him.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, that scene, though, that final scene where the boat goes, you know.
Oh.
Spoiler alert.
One of those rogue waves that's, you know, 100 plus feet high.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then you're at the top. You're like, we're going to make it. Oh, no, we're not.
Should have just turned around. They got greedy.
Yeah, they should have just turned around. And I watch that movie. This one of those movies, when it's on, I will watch it.
And you still hope they get over
and
the wave.
I know. And every time I'm like, maybe they'll make it this time.
Right.
You're yelling at the screen, turn around. Turn around.
Director's cut.
Turn around.
Right, where they all live.
Oh.
If it weren't just a true story, that would be fine.
That's true. Yeah. You can laugh at it more.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right.
What was the one with where the cruise ship flipped over?
Poseidon Adventure.
Poseidon Adventure, yeah.
Oh,
brother.
That was one of those movies my parents took me to, and it was too. You know, there are scarring moments when you're a child.
Yes.
And they say, don't take your kid
to
this.
Right.
My dad took me to go see. took me to go see Bonnie and Clyde when it came out.
Yeah.
And I was like 5 or 6, and you know, there's like, you know, they shoot through the eyeball a number of times in that movie.
I know.
Yeah. You know, it had a very kind of bloody sort of thing going on there. So that scarred me.
Did.
And then Poseidon Adventure. I was never able to go to a barber shop again after Poseidon Adventure, and all the barber chairs are upside down.
Yeah.
Right? And because they're going through.
I know.
When Shelley Winters bought it, I'm like, that's it, I'm done.
You were rooting for her.
I wasn't really rooting for her because she reminded me a little of my grandmother, and I'm like, and my grandmother was mean to me, and I thought, all right, well, I just.
She needs to go.
Yeah.
But it still scarred you.
Yeah.
For me, it was Exorcist. You know, my parents didn't want me to see it, but then when I went over to a friend's house and we were able to see it, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That one stays with you.
Forever.
And every time you have split pea soup, you think about that.
Yeah, I don't because of that anymore. And every time my head turns around completely.
Right. Yeah.
That was a weird
Well, that's a rather painful experience to begin with, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And how about Jaws? Remember when that came out?
Yes.
And
you didn't want to go to the ocean, the lake, the water again.
I never got in a bathtub again.
Yeah.
That's
right. Well, you had turtles in your bathtub.
Yes, I did. Right.
Yeah, that's exactly. You want to bathe with them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
Thank you for recalling that.
Everything, Tom.
Right. I sponge bath myself every night. That's how I. I do it. Yeah, it's a thing. But Jaws. That's it. I will never dive and go try to pull a tooth out of the bottom of a boat because a head will come popping out.
Right.
If I remember everybody remembers the first time they saw that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They're like, oh no!
I know.
Oh God! And then every time I watch that movie, another one of those movies, I'm like, don't go down there.
Yeah.
Don't pull that tooth out.
Have you ever had dreams? I remember as a kid, I had dreams that I was on the beach. And I think of that scene and where that giant asteroid hit took place and this huge tsunami wave came in to the coastline on that closing scene. I had dreams like that, of a wave like that coming at me, and I wasn't able to run, you know? Did you ever do that?
My nightmare that is recurring is that I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get to the studio.
Yes.
And I keep getting on the wrong elevator.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't get to, then I'm stuck and I'm like running around that.
Yep.
Like, maybe I should get coffee. And I stop and I'm looking at my watch and now it's 3:08, 3:09, 3:10. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I should be there. And I can't find the studio.
I know. I you know, my dream is that somebody calls back here. I'm in the office, and they say, you're on in 30 seconds, and I have none of my computer graphics ready. And
do you still have that?
Oh, yeah, I do. And, you know, it's funny because I've told people when I have this thing, they say, my word, you can't even get away from work when you're on vacation. You know, I guess we all in this business have things. Do you know when I started at WGN, Roger Treemstra had done the weather for a long time because Harry Volkman had left before I came in. So it was the first day on the job here, and I was to fill in for Roger on Wally Phillips' show. And they had put me up in a hotel out by O'Hare. And I was coming down the elevator. I had no equipment at home at that time. And the elevator jammed between the third and fourth floor. First day on the air at WGN. And I thought, how am I going to tell anybody? I mean, it sounds, you know, like a made-up excuse. If you call in and say, I'm stuck in an elevator. I can't get in. And I don't remember how they got that thing going, but...
I'm sorry it didn't work out for you, Tom.
I know. I know.
We can all attribute that one moment.
I know.
That Roger Treemstra, by the way, we met him during the Walk of Fame ceremony this year.
Yeah.
There is a guy who is now a truth screamer. He has, you know, he gets a certain age. And
he's got the truth serum going.
Right.
For
and
sure.
Whatever is on his mind, he is going to tell you.
Oh, I know. And, but he's always had that quality about him.
Because he was a trip, that guy.
I know. He is funny. Yeah. I know. Yeah. He always used to say to me, I taught you everything you know. I said, well, thank you, Roger. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah. You can tell that Roger's the kind of guy that if you're at the diner that he goes to every Saturday morning for breakfast.
Yeah.
They're all deciding who's they move him around from section to section because they don't want.
Scare away everybody.
Once a month, you want to serve him. That's how that goes. Because he's going to tell you if something's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
I know.
Yeah.
Isn't it wonderful to reach that stage in life, though? Where you can, you know, you just, The filter comes off. You just let it lay, you know, let it roll.
Yeah, and I love that.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, we'll see you tonight. And expect my weather photo?
You know what? Let's try and get it on. I think we've got a 9:30 show unless we... No? Oh, we don't. Do we have a ball game tonight?
Oh, this is such a fake excuse.
Yeah, the White Sox game.
Yeah, I know. This sounds...
Yeah, no, we can't.
Again?
If I don't get it on tonight, I'll get it on tomorrow night. We've got a late ball game, and you never know when we're going to be on with that. So, yeah, but I will get it on. Because anybody who put their life on the line the way you did to get that beautiful shot has got to... We've got to share that with the public.
Well,
you know?
Apparently at WGNRadio.com, there's a gallery.
Oh, did you put it up?
There's a gallery. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't put it on the Channel 9 News. I want it on Channel 9 News, and I want it mentioned that Roe County, look at the photography. I want those practices.
Great photography.
Look at the photography of this, people. This is an iPhone 8.
Do you see how high up in the tree Roe was able to climb?
Can you imagine the mindset of anybody who would be at this altitude taking this picture looking south?
And then I want you to turn to Joe and Micah, and I want you to say, now, let's talk about Roe for a few minutes here. What an incredibly brave man he is.
He is. Yeah. I know. He put his life on the line to get this shot for all of us.
Exactly.
I know.
Yeah. And then everybody just stop and go, wow, what a man.
Amazing.
And then move on.
I know. Yeah. I know. And then I'll show them your waterfall picture from South America.
Right.
That's another beauty.
Maybe a salute. Maybe all three of you can salute me into the camera.
Could you also plug WGNRadio.com where those pictures are located? You can also plug WGNRadio.com.
I just did. Right.
Are you not listening to this program? I'm saying Skilling could plug it on the news.
Yeah.
We have time to look at it here, folks.
It's on the WGNRadio.com website.
So, Tom, just so we're clear, it's not going to be on tonight?
You know what? I don't even know what time we're going to be on yet with a ball game. Okay. What are you thinking, Bill?
No.
Sometime between 10 and 10:30.
Bill, get on this! So, we want to get our fixed show, you know, normal time.
Yeah,
so we have our normal audience and all the rest.
Yeah,
all
right. Gotta have a full show.
We want to thank Perma Seal Basement Systems for bringing us Tom Skilling.
Yes.
Thank you, Tom.
See you guys.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye, Anna.
All right, let's check in with Judy. What's coming up in a few minutes in the news?
You won't believe who brought a gun to court. you might believe it.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're going to believe it. It's a pretty good one. Violetta. Yeah, it's a Roe Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Don't forget, coming up in just a few minutes, your chance to rip us off for passes, a family four-pack of passes, the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at chicagoblackhawks.com.
Stay close.
Yeah, stay close.
We'll be there, no big deal.
Yep, I know. That's where we are every year. Every year we get our own stage.
Wonder if we'll get to talk to Jonathan Toews this year. That'd be really cool.
I don't know.
Did last year.
Captain Sirius. Maybe the new captain, Patrick Kane.
Oh.
How about that?
That would be fun, too.
It's a little something right there. I think that's kind of an interesting thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think we might see some more moves before the convention.
I hear what you're saying there. Oh,
I hear you.
Stay
but I'm
tuned.
Not sure.
Right, Kevin.
Right, stay close.
I think people are still kind of waiting for the Hawks to make even some more moves, but they've made some signings.
Yeah. But we're not quite there.
Not a major splash yet.
No.
And you think we will?
Yeah. Well, I think they have to, right? I mean, didn't Rocky say, fix this now? Isn't it sort of like
that evil emperor voice I think he used? Yeah.
Yeah. I think he did a full Darth Vader on him when he was sitting there with Stan, we can. Because we can with Stan.
We can.
Mm-hmm. It's like a children's book now.
I mean, everybody's got a children's book now.
Yeah.
This will be the one we write.
With Stan, we can. We can with Stan. And when can we withstand? When we do withstand.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Believe.
All right. I'm not, you know, there's a lot of goofiness that's happening in our little country now. But when it hits here, I mean, we got enough goofiness here. We got enough stuff happening in Chicago. When I was traveling over the last week, you know, people are like, oh, Chicago, because the headlines are really bad. And I go, no, it's a beautiful city.
It's an amazing city.
And, you know, 90% of the stuff that goes wrong happens in 8% of the city, on the 8% of the blocks of the city. And the murder rate is, you know, 80% of the people who are murdered in the city know the person who killed them. Or at least know of the person who killed them. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is a this, and that doesn't make it any better. Certainly, I'm not trying to excuse anything.
No.
But I'm just saying that as a, you know, as a city, as a reputational issue, we do have to be, you know, very careful to highlight the things that are going right here, as opposed to always considering the things that are going wrong. And then this moron shows up.
He's not helping.
From the Cook County Forest Preserves. And I don't know. You know, as a lifelong resident here, the one thing I do know is that, you know, it's tough to get on the list to be a Chicago police officer. And when you do, it's an honor, and it's a great gig. And the vast majority of Chicago policemen are great at what they do. And then there's the Cook County Sheriff's Office, which has a little less of a spectacular reputation, but I think under Tom Dart, I think it's a professionalized organization, and there's some really great men and women there. Then there's the Cook County Forest Preserve Police. Now, that's a little different situation. It used to be that was, if you couldn't get on a streets and sand and you had an alderman or a county commissioner that you knew that was in the family, then they would get you on that job. Now, remember, they're going to give you a gun, so don't shoot yourself with it. I think it was the first standing order of the Cook County Forest Reserve Police. There has been, again, a professionalization that goes on there at that organization, but there were still some questions about this. And now, Jen O'Malley is with us. He's a former chief deputy U.S. Marshal here mm-hmm. for the Northern District of Illinois, and he's a law enforcement expert. So I ask you, you've seen this video of this moron running up on this woman.
Yes.
The guys, they've identified the guy now.
He's
how old
arrested.
Is he? In his 60s, maybe?
He looked to be in his
60s. Looked yeah. in his 60s. I
clearly drunk, right?
Yes.
Clearly just a jag. I mean, it's, you know, as they used to call in this town, general mopery. That was the charge. Or aggravated mopery. And this is the case where the guy, and he's yelling at this woman about wearing a Puerto Rico T-shirt.
I would like to know, is she an American citizen? Why is she wearing that
This is what I'm wearing, you guys.
Are you really?
This is what I'm wearing. That's it. That's it.
I got some really, really, really nephews and nieces that'll go down on you.
Can you please get away from me? Can you please get away from me? Can you please get away from me? Can you please get away from me?
Let me tell you something. Puerto Rico is an American state.
Hey, buddy. It is.
Yes, they are. State. They vote for our president.
You should wear it.
Hey, calm down. Get away.
Some misinformation in that.
Yeah, there was a lot of bad information going back and forth here. But the guy was, you know, arguing, you know, you should get out of this country if you're from Puerto Rico, which Puerto Rico is this country. It's a commonwealth of the United States. It does vote for the president in a primary, not in the general election. I'm a little confused by that, but that seems to be the rule. And they're American citizens.
That's
born
right.
American citizens. They are American citizens, right? So this guy didn't seem to understand. He was drunk. But the issue is now about the Forest Preserve Police who arrived on the scene and didn't seem to intervene, especially when this guy came charging at this woman who was wearing the shirt.
Yeah, numerous times.
And even scared the dog that was with her, which was, it looked to be a puppy, you know, but and it was, what a sweet looking little dog, but the dog was a pit bull. And he was
scared too.
And the pit bull was like, I don't know, this guy's drunk. I don't know what to do with this.
Well, she's so calm in it, and she says, I don't feel comfortable with him here. Is there anything you can do? She directly turns to that officer.
She absolutely does. So I don't know when he arrived on the scene, if this was a call made that he responded to or just happened to be on scene when the video started. We don't know what happened, obviously, prior to.
They were being called. We do have some detail on that.
Okay.
They were called to a man choking a woman call.
Oh, prior to that.
Prior to that. That's put them in the area.
Okay. But
and that seems unrelated to what was going on here.
Yeah, and as Anna states, numerous times she even says, officer, basically, can you please help me?
Mm-hmm.
And the officer stands at his squad car with his hands inside his vest. Terrible tactical position to be in, first off. But numerous things that this officer, you have to take action. I mean, the training is you assess the situation quickly as possible. Obviously, someone who's drunk and disorderly. And then numerous times during the video, approaches within inches of her face, which can constitute an assault.
Mm-hmm.
Arrestable offense. He sees an arrestable offense happening on view and doesn't even really move, let alone try to intervene and stop it. For minutes. This goes on for minutes and minutes.
Does it matter that he did call for help? Would that be what would be indicated? Or you say he should have obviously done more?
Absolutely. I mean, he can, first of all, start by giving some verbal commands. Sir, step away. Come over here by me.
I don't know. It was hard to tell by the video. I'm not schooled up on what non-lethal devices the Cook County Forest Preserve Police are trained on and carry with them.
I believe they have a flask that they carry with them. That's what they used to do. Yeah. I don't know what it is now. But, well, they clearly had lethal, right? I mean, you saw the guy's sidearm.
Well, they are armed. They're sworn officers. They're certified through the state of Illinois, through the county. But the guy takes zero action. He looked to be an older officer, to put it nicely. And the problem is, this is not a profession where you can just sit behind, do nothing, and hope that you leave and collect your pension. You have to intervene, especially when you see a crime being committed directly on view in front of you. Whether or not you're calling or waiting for backup is one thing.
Even if this is aggravated dumbassery, it's mm-hmm. okay, because that is the vast majority of policing that takes place,
especially in the forest preserve.
Right, yeah. Well, there's that. Well, in the forest preserve, there's underwear in the trees. There is
teenagers smoking dope.
Yeah.
Loud music.
Loud music. And then sometimes
bad t-shirts.
People doing, living on the down low in the parking lot. Correct. But other than that, I mean, what else is, what are the force reserves for here anyway? Correct. I would say development if I were the mayor.
There's been scrutiny of that police force, hasn't there? I mean, in the past, about whether or not the sheriffs should just take it over.
I've been around for coming on 30 years now, and there was always a question on their credibility
why,
but there are some good people that are there
for sure.
Absolutely.
But why are there two organizations?
Exactly. Yes. I guess that's a question for Tony Prickwinkle and company. Is why is that an overlapping? You have two separate departments. I'm quite sure it's something that the Sheriff's Police Department could take over Monday morning and effectively.
Right? Sure,
maybe do a better job than
there's a lot of space. There's a lot of area that they patrol, no doubt. But as you say, a vast majority of the people are there to, enjoy the forest preserves. And if they are out of line, using narcotics, over drinking, things of that nature, then they deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, it just made my stomach churn to watch a law enforcement officer take zero action. Now, the guy was an older guy. He was drunk. However, when he approaches that woman numerous times, gets within inches of her. That's where that could have went really south. That could have went really south.
Yeah, and then him standing there, that would have been for sure the moment to intervene. No excuse for that, you're saying,
Jim. At least verbal commands to begin with, to start with that, and take some a measure of authority. He is the authority figure on scene there. He needs to intervene. No doubt he should be disciplined swiftly for that, the inaction.
Did she ask for help first, or did he get in her face first? When she says, I'm uncomfortable with what's happening.
Yeah, she mentioned she's uncomfortable, and she asks
let me ask you a question. The uncomfortable thing is an important point.
Absolutely.
Are those the right words? Would there have been better words to trigger a response from this officer?
Other than
uncomfortable, because it's uncomfortable.
She said, highly uncomfortable. Here's a quote. Officer, I feel highly uncomfortable. Can you please grab him? Can you please get him away from me?
Yes. I mean, again, I wouldn't even wait for her verbal cue. He's got a... take the cues of watching what's happening in front of him and knowing that that's inappropriate and potentially criminal. And then, just again, take that action. He has to do a quick assessment. He has to get himself verbally involved to give good, clear verbal commands to get that individual away. And he does none of that.
Yeah. It's
just an unfortunate black guy for the city, because this has gone national. It's on all of the national websites right now. It's trending. It's not good.
So, his mindset's going to be, well, she was videotaping. I didn't want to take action. And, when I left the job a couple of years ago, video was starting to become prevalent. And I always told the guys, if there's one camera, there's two. If there's two cameras, there's 10. Act professionally. Fall back on your training. Give good, clear verbal commands. And the situation will resolve in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
But, this fear of intervening because you may end up on video is nonsense. And the guy could have intervened as he was waiting for backup, and he took zero action. He went against his duty-bound oath to intervene during that situation.
Well, I think one of the things that we're dealing with here is that there the ubiquity of cameras, because everybody's got one now. If you've got a cell phone, you got a camera. And people are, it's almost an instinct in any circumstance for people now to just start rolling on whatever it is that's happening in front. You had that case where you had the The police officer, was it in the Southwest somewhere? Was it Arizona, Texas, California?
Which one?
Where the police officer pulled the gun on all the little kids.
Yeah.
But these little kids were being, you know.
Yes.
You know, poopy head little brats. Mm-hmm. It was a nice way of putting it. And they were all over the, and that is another part of the story, which is the lack of respect that people have for authority.
Well,
and there's true. And it's becoming culturally instilled now.
Right.
You know, we're even the kids are polarized about this.
Well, and I think a lot of law enforcement officers were anti-body cams, even though dash cams have been around for, you know, good 10, if not 15 years. And I think that actually once they start utilizing them and seeing that it could be to their advantage, because all cops will tell you, you would not believe the things they see in here. Well,
sure.
Now we're seeing that more and more with body cam,
right.
Dash cam video with audio, things of that nature. So I would think the camera is really your friend. In this particular case, that video she took on her phone is evidence in this potentially a prosecutable offense at this
guy. He's been charged with assault, disorderly conduct.
Sure.
He's been arrested.
But without that video, the evidence would be
what happens?
Pretty much her word against his.
Well, what do you make, though, of police officers who will say, you know, I don't like the body cams? Because, you know, sometimes you gotta use language. You gotta say things, you know, you gotta meet the folks where they are that you're confronting.
That's correct. And if language is a problem, I probably would have been fired during my career. But you do get, listen, cops are human. You get adrenaline starts to pump. And sometimes in some circumstances, dropping certain words is the only way you get attention.
Right.
Now, if you're using it as you're interviewing someone or just for the sake of doing it, I would say that's that borderline unprofessional. But at certain times, the language is not necessarily the problem. It's the actions taken by the officers. So, and, you know, people need to remember, an officer, via the Supreme Court, not the city of Chicago, not the city of New York, Los Angeles, via the Supreme Court, an officer is allowed to use the force necessary to effect an arrest. And that's where the gray comes in. What force was used? How much was it appropriate? And when does it end once that arrest is effected?
Yeah. We also, the other video that's going viral here of a Chicago police officer who's in his car, he and his partner are in their car, in a police car, unmarked police car, but they're in uniform. And they're talking to some kids on the street, and we don't see what the run-up to it was, which is always one of the problems here, because context
is
really important. But one of the cops says, well, we have the audio here, listen to this.
Are you trying to chew my...
I killed my...
Are you killed my...
out here today.
And you just tried to hit me with the car?
Don't try to film me, dude, all right? You want to do the bullshit?
You just said that.
How about I lock you up and walk in the street?
I ain't do nothing.
You're walking in the street?
I'm walking across the street.
Illegally.
So the police officer says to these kids, or whoever they... it's hard to tell from the video because you never see them. I don't know how they are. But these people are on the street. I kill MFers, is what the police officer says to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like... In a way is to say, you know, don't mess with me because I have the authority to do that.
Right.
And now that's gone viral.
Right. And again, police officers, if I had something to say about it, the police officer shouldn't be in certain areas for too long of a time because they start to get post-traumatic stress. They start to lose faith because not everybody in bad neighborhoods is a bad person. In fact, my experience spending years in Inglewood, Lawndale, Austin, Calumet, you name the area, vast majority, I would say in the high 90 percentile, are very good people, hard work, and they want the police to intervene and get the people out of that area. The other issue is these young kids being emboldened and talk. You know, back in my day, you would never talk to a Chicago police officer that way. Not that it's right or it's wrong, but those officers can engage in that kind of chitter-chatter back and forth.
Right.
And I have to be careful of, I don't know this particular case, but I sit on the police board, that might be a disciplinary case before us. But
all right, okay.
Yeah, you shouldn't use that language.
We'll leave it there.
Yep.
Thank you, John.
Thanks,
appreciate
John.
John O'Malley,
good
former Deputy U.S. Marshal for the Northern District of Illinois.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
And right now, caller number 19 at 312-981-7200 rips us off for a family four-pack. Yeah. The 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention, the Hilton Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at chicagoblackhawks.com. Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Appalling and disturbing. The Cook County Forest Preserve responding to a viral video.
Violetta? Keep listening. Coming up in just a bit, your chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the White Sox versus the Blue Jays, Friday, July 27th. What time is that going to be at?
Sure, it's coming to you at 7:10 p.m. first pitch. But we got your tickets. You rip us off coming up in the next, I'd say, stay close, maybe an hour or so.
Stay close.
That's a long time to stay close to radio, man.
No, you got to stay close.
How close?
And, you know, it's really funny because actually Radio Man hasn't been very, very lucky in terms of people, humans, staying close to him.
No, I would say I don't really want to stay close to cheesy radio guy.
No, it's been kind of long. You know, I tell them, stay close.
That's too close. Back up.
And then they leave.
You get any idea of trouble getting too close to any of maybe your guests for your show?
Well, I have had a little bit of a problem, yeah.
A little handsy? It happens.
And I never had the great pleasure or honor to meet Taylor Swift, but I'll tell you something right now. There are some lucky ladies who stopped by the studio in the overnight hours, and they did eventually call local law enforcement.
Oh, can't imagine why. Seems so appropriate.
That's why I keep having to move town to town, up and down the dial.
Radio man on the move.
Ew.
Oh, God.
Unfortunately, nothing keeps him down.
Unfortunately, that guy exists in every single market.
He does. He kind of does. And on multiple stations in some markets.
I just keep changing my name. I was Uncle John for many years.
He's sort of morphing into Creepy Uncle. I think actually Creepy Uncle might have been a radio guy early on.
He's still broadcasting from his basement. Right. Just doesn't get broadcasted out to anybody.
Yeah, it's before his cerebral hemorrhage. And then he just talks to the wall.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I got that.
Got things to do.
That's a long way of telling you I got White Sox tickets coming up. What time are we giving those away? Can you tell me what time we're giving those away?
Do we know? We know what time?
Oh, they're happening this hour.
Huge.
Yeah, this hour is too close.
All right. Are you ready? I think you're ready.
Yeah, please. Okay.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
The president announced a Supreme Court nominee last night, 53-year-old Judge Brett Kavanaugh, the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in D.C. Kavanaugh outlined his judicial mindset.
My judicial philosophy is straightforward. A judge must be independent and must interpret the law, not make the law. A judge must interpret statutes as written, and a judge must interpret the Constitution as written, informed by history and tradition and precedent.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Strict constitutionalist.
I lost interest after the first three words of that. So like, okay.
Which is what he hopes everyone does during the confirmation hearings.
And
if I talk boring enough, no one will pay any attention.
Don't ask a lot of pesky questions about how I feel about things. I'll just have to see the case law that's in front of me, and that's just what it's going to be. The Senate Minority Leader, Chuck Schumer, though.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was on CBS this morning.
Yes, he was.
President Trump, with the nomination of Judge Kavanaugh, has fulfilled or is fulfilling two of his campaign promises. First, to undo women's reproductive freedom. Second, to undo ACA. And so I will oppose him with everything I've got.
And one of the things he wants is when Kavanaugh served as President George W. Bush's staff secretary, he has an email trail that stems for several years. And he's saying, well, why not get all those emails, anything he ever touched, speeches, memos, record logs, anything. See what's what.
Well, I mean, wait, is that, I don't, have they ever done that before?
I think they did get Elena Kagan's emails to some extent, but, so there is some precedent
for
that.
That's the old good for the goose, good for the gander kind of thing right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And remember, he was on Ken Starr's team that investigated President Bill Clinton with her, is there a paper trail there? This is what Schumer is trying to dig up.
All right, we'll just have to see what happens here. I don't know how I feel about anything anymore. All right. Now, this gets good here.
Number four.
The president spoke to reporters just before heading off to Europe today to go tick off our allies.
Are you with us? Anyone? Anyone?
And he said he's really looking forward to his meeting with Vladimir Putin. I'll bet he is.
Mm-hmm. So I have NATO, I have the UK, which is in somewhat turmoil, and I have Putin. Frankly, Putin may be the easiest of them all. Who would think? Who would think? But the UK certainly has they have a lot of things going on.
Well, Putin is the easiest meeting for him because all he has to do is go, yes, sir, what do you need now? What can I do for you? It's basically how it's been. I like how he just calls him a competitor, like he's bidding on the same building, on the same property somewhere.
Right, like a fellow developer.
Oh, my God. He also took shots at our allies in NATO.
Well, we do have a lot of allies, but we cannot be taken advantage of. We're being taken advantage of by the European Union. We lost $151 billion last year on trade. And on top of that, we spend at least 70% for NATO. And frankly, it helps them a lot more than it helps us. So we'll see what happens. We have a long, beautiful week.
He uses beautiful a lot. Is either beautiful or disaster?
Putin. Is that a beautiful week?
Well, it will be. Maybe Svetlana will be there. Do you notice that he and Melania, when they were getting on Air Force One, they, you know, he was holding onto her hand very tightly.
Yeah.
So she couldn't use it to, you know, like slap him away. But then when they got off the plane, they couldn't have been further apart on the stairs. You could have fit an entire other Trump in between the two of them.
It's like, no, go ahead.
No, right. And then they're walking down the same stairs.
Well,
which
she walks in 6-inch heels. It's much harder. You can't walk at his pace.
No, but I don't think you want to be that close to him.
But she was all the way the other side, you know, of him. And I know there's a railing there. And he's got to hold on to the railing, too, because he's fragile. And she's got to hold on to the railing because she's in the heels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole thing. I don't know. Now, here's the head of the European Union, President Tusk, was in Brussels to participate in the NATO summit. And he's telling the President of the United States, hey, stop messing with your allies.
First of all, the America appreciate your allies. After all, you don't have that many. And the Europe spend more on your defense because everyone respects an ally that is well prepared and equipped. Money is important, but genuine solidarity is even more important. Speaking about solidarity, I want to dispel the American president's argument, which says that the US alone protects Europe against our enemies and that the US is almost alone in this struggle.
Yeah. He made the point that what's worse than fighting with your allies, it's fighting without them, and that you need some unity here and get past some of this rhetoric.
Right. Yes. Because these allies have gone
Afghanistan.
On a couple of errands with us that didn't pay off for them.
Yeah. How about it?
Right. And this idea, too. I mean, people... the president continues to foster the misconception that this is about these countries paying NATO or paying the United States for the protection. This is not a protection racket. This is what NATO requires is a percentage of the GDP of each of those countries to be paid to build up their own military. It's all intramural for every one of these countries. They're not paying NATO. They're not paying the United States. Mm-hmm. They're paying themselves to build up their military and then contribute to those exercises that are NATO-based exercises. And I think they got to pay part of the rent on the NATO headquarters in Brussels.
Right. And you think about it, 1,000 NATO troops were lost in fighting for Afghanistan, something determined to be entered after 9/11, and, you know, NATO was there one.
Just something to think about. All right. Let's check in with Judy, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the news.
A Chicago cop involved in a controversial fatal shooting has now been cleared in a bar fight.
Violetta?
The Cards are coming to the South Side to play Under the Lights. Expect some fireworks. Sox Cardinals, Tuesday Night Baseball tonight at 7 on WGN Sports.
Top 5 at 5 continues, and we are up to
number 3.
Saturday's anti-violence protest that shut down the Ryan has led to a war of words between the governor and the mayor. Now, the governor claimed that the police and the protesters violated a deal with state police, the local police, I should say, the Chicago police, with state police that would have kept the expressway open. And then the governor tweeted, he went on the Twitter. I don't see him doing this by himself.
Who do you think did it?
I don't. I think he's got people for the tweeting.
He's got Twitter people?
Yeah. I don't think he does it.
How would you know about Twitter people?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. People who post for others on social media.
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, the point is, I sometimes post for myself, and then, but I like to have people that I can blame in case I post something that's really bad.
Yeah, not me. You have to talk to my people.
Yeah,
it was an unfortunate mistake.
But
yeah. Someone should be fired.
It still reflects what you wanted to post.
I'm gonna say no.
Okay, if that, but for if the get governor, to the,
yeah, I have to always have plausible deniability. I learned that very early on in this business. Anyway, the point is this, that the governor tweeted, "I'm disappointed with the mayor. There was an agreement in place, and I'm calling on the mayor to take swift and decisive action to put an end to this kind of chaos." The mayor responded on Twitter, saying it was a peaceful protest. Delete your account.
While he was in China, right? Wasn't he out of, he wasn't in town.
The governor is not backing down.
Just as no one should walk onto a runway at O'Hare Airport, no one should walk onto an interstate expressway. That tactic was wrong, and it was dangerous.
All right, and so Father Flager, who's behind this whole thing, is asking both of these guys just to sit down and shut up.
I want to make it very clear, this is not about the politics, this is not about election. All the naysayers, the armchair quarterbacks, and the politics, and the election gibberish, stop it.
It's only about elections and votes. That's all it is.
Right, that's true. That is true.
They're both catering to different people, different crowds.
And Flager wanted to make a point, but the point is lost because that sort of thing isn't going to make people do anything different than they're already doing. The state isn't going to change what they're doing. The city isn't going to change what it's doing because people got on the Dan Ryan and closed it down for an hour. You know, that's it. It's just not. And the mayor. I mean, this is nice, Rom.
Nice Rom.
I think he actually tweeted that himself.
Yeah,
this and enjoyed it.
Delete your account. That does sound like something the mayor would say.
Yes, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is because it's an election year, so he's just being super nice. We're not an election year. Like next year,
right?
He wouldn't be like saying, "Oh, this is wonderful. Mm-hmm. We should spend more time on the Ryan."
Get off the highway.
The fuzzy V-necks come out in election year. You know the blue V-neck sweater.
Yeah.
That he wears.
Yeah, I mean, we get
now
it.
Now he's like, "I'm with you,
right?
Whoever you are, I'm with you."
And next year he'll say, "I'm going to gouge out your eyes and skull blank you."
Right.
Next year he'll say, "Who are you?"
All right, checking in at
number 2.
Becca Cuffrin took the remaining 6 suitors to the Bahamas last night on The Bachelorette.
It was the group date.
To whittle the group down to 4 men that she wants to take home next week to her hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Becca from? Does anybody know?
Becca, anyone know?
Oklahoma?
Yeah. Boy. Now, before Becca gave him the rose, Blake became the first guy to tell her that he is in love with her.
You know, I've fallen so much for you. It's been incredible. It's been so much fun, you know. And falling in love, it's fun. It is. It's really fun. But I think staying in love would be even more fun, you know, and I've never had that.
Oh, come on. Throw a pair!
Becca, I am in love with you.
Why is he crying?
Dude, you just went on a date with her with 3 other guys.
I love you so much, Becca. I can't control myself.
My favorite is how the Bachelor Nation fans were losing their minds because they interrupted the programming for the Supreme Court pick.
Yeah.
They were losing their minds. Can't you just tweet it? Why?
But then there was this
stop it
super awkward moment last night as you know, she was courting these six. This is a guy who played a little bit of football, He was on a, he made it to like preseason football with an NFL team, I think, and maybe it was on the practice
arena
squad,
football or something,
like that. Yeah, and he says this, Jordan. Listen to this.
I spent a lot of time working on football Colton, and I sort of forgot who personal Colton was. And I did only have one serious relationship coming into this. And I haven't had that many girlfriends or that many dates because of sports. And because of that, I still am. I am a virgin.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is this...
Big reveal.
Wait a minute. Is this Colton Underwood?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know
the
him?
Bird. I'm all with Colton Underwood.
He's ISU?
Is it... Yeah, he's a Redbird. He was part of the team that went to the... He was a great football player at ISU.
God.
All right, I'm all for Colton. Look, guys, he's in love with a girl. Give him a break. He's a Redbird. Fear the bird.
Wait, let me get this straight. He was a football player, but he's a virgin.
Yeah, what's wrong
I
with
don't
that?
Believe her.
Yeah. I don't either.
Listen, babe, I'm a total virgin.
Yeah. I'm embarrassed just hearing this audio. How can people watch this show?
Listen.
Like, I'm sick to my stomach. It's ridiculous.
Let me tell you something about Colton here, though.
Okay.
Then after she was like, really? Like that? Which, I mean...
Like, the female-to-male ratio at ISU is a pretty wonderful thing if you're a male. So, if you're a star football player,
hey,
and you're able to hang on to that.
Stick with the line of the story here, which is he claims he's a virgin. She's like, what? And then she goes, I need a minute. And she gets up and she walks off. And I think she wanted to go talk to the producers. Like, are you kidding me? How am I supposed to? What am I supposed to do with him in the fantasy suite? And he says it's not even because of a religious thing.
Well, he's a sweet, innocent guy. Well, what? Doesn't that make him more appealing?
I've been lifting too many weights.
Maybe
what?
Maybe he's shy. You know, he's working on his craft.
Really?
Oh, man. All right. And finally.
Number one.
Okay. So Jimmy Kimmel and Donald Trump are now having a feud.
Oh, another
one? Because Donald Trump claims that Jimmy Kimmel waited for him to arrive at the Kimmel show and met him at the car and opened the car door for him and thanked him and sucked up to him and kissed his keister, right?
Before the election? Or
When he was on the show. Okay. I think during the election.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Kimmel would meet me before the election. I'm telling you a true story. I don't even think you'd deny it. No talent. But I'd go to a studio to do a shot, you know, to do a thing. He would stand outside on the sidewalk waiting for me. Oh, here he comes, Donald Trump. Oh, he opens my door. But he's waiting for me. Two or three times I did a show before this. Well, now he wouldn't do a show. That guy's terrible. But I do a show, and he's standing out on Hollywood, whatever, Boulevard. And he's standing there, opening up the door, like going great. Oh, hello. I wasn't president. I was like a guy.
Oh, my God.
You're still like a guy.
Yeah. And so Kimmel says that's not exactly what happened.
Donald Trump showed up one night outside our show, banging on the backstage door. It was 2007. He had a half finished bucket of chicken under his arm. And he was screaming that he needed to use the bathroom. But unfortunately, there was someone in the bathroom. I believe it was Zach Braff who was in the bathroom. So Donald took a look around. He stuffed the remainder of the chicken in his jacket. He dropped his pants. He did his business in the bucket. That's true. That story is exactly as true as his was.
Oh my
this
God.
Is kind of fun to watch if it weren't kind of an embarrassment.
Well, if it weren't so consequential, this would all have been so much fun to watch.
Yes.
If you were a French citizen, perhaps, and you were watching this. It's like the way we used to watch Italy and Berlusconi and go, oh, look at how ridiculous that is.
Right? Ha, ha. Oh, so funny.
That will never happen in America.
Really?
All right, let's lock this thing up. I want to talk about this bachelorette thing on the other side.
Back up.
You know, hold your pants. Hold on one second here.
The top five at five.
Hey, I actually had no idea that there were lyrics there.
You know, it's the first rule of radio, always to assume that there are lyrics.
That's the one rule he does know.
Yeah, he only knew right. He's a moron. Anyway, the point is that right now, caller number 7 is going to rip us off at 312-981-7200 for Sox tickets against the Blue Jays on Friday, July 27th, 7:10, first pitch. Keep listening for that sounder because you never know when it's going to hit. And it's your cue to call in to win Sox tickets all season long.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, can I go back to the mm-hmm. Bachelorette thing for a second?
There's a lot there to unpack, yes. I like to say in cable news. Let's unpack this.
let us. I want to play this again. All right, if you miss this, this is from last night's The Bachelorette. This is a guy named Colton that Kevin Powell loves.
Fear the bird.
Yeah, because he went to Illinois State, as did Kevin. And he played football. He played on that team that lost to...
Carson Wentz. He broke my heart. Frisco, Texas. Never forgive him.
You were at that game, weren't you?
I was at that game.
I remember. When
flew down to Texas,
game.
Did some barbecue. Redbirds were winning with about 80 seconds remaining. Carson Wentz drove down one.
Yeah.
How did Colton do?
From what I remember, he played well.
And what position did he play?
He's a defensive end, defensive lineman.
Well, we know one position he doesn't play, so that's what we learned here. So he was a football player at Illinois State.
He had a lot of pent-up energy.
Seem angry?
He had a cup of coffee in the NFL, as they like to say. And then he's now a Bachelorette contestant. And we don't exactly understand why. But let us now listen to he and Becca, as Becca was inviting him. She's trying to figure out. She's trying to get down to the final four that she's going to take home for home week, go back to Minnesota and show these dopes off to her parents.
I spent a lot of time working on football Colton, and I sort of forgot who personal Colton was. And I did only have one serious relationship coming into this, and I haven't had that many girlfriends or that many dates because of sports. And because of that, I am a virgin.
Really?
Yeah.
It wasn't so much even what she said as that she walked out at that moment that a lot of people didn't like, that they thought that was rude. If he's making this admission and it's very intimate and personal, and
I think,
then she
I
walks
think her,
away.
I think her really says it all.
Yeah, there's no way he's a virgin.
Mm. Whoa. Let's just assume for the sake of this argument that he is. I happen to agree with you, Kevin. I have so stated on local broadcasting throughout the day.
Yes.
But.
Yeah, I'm a virgin too, ladies. Everyone listen out there.
Yeah, but I'm going to. This is the question I ask because you and I are sitting here.
Yeah.
And we have three beautiful women around us who have, experienced life at different levels. Mm-hmm. And I would ask you this question. Is that appealing? I mean, if you were like on a date with somebody, and I think Becca's in her late 20s and this guy's what, 26?
He's 26. I think that's the difference, because I think at 18 or 17, I mean, it's different than when you're 26. I think it is somewhat shocking today to run into a 26-year-old virgin, mm-hmm. especially someone with his life experience and access, I guess you could say.
This is the agent going, listen, I got an angle for you, Colton.
Well, especially to go meet the parents. This is a great angle to get to the next day.
Right. Well, they certainly played it up because they did all these sexual innuendo. They went conch. How do you say that? When you get the you go fishing for them. Conch, isn't that it?
Catfishing?
No, it's the you eat them.
Oh, you eat conch?
Conch.
Oh my God! I thought you were doing something very dirty here. But yes.
No. That's what they did. They had a guide take them conch
diving.
Fishing and diving.
Yeah.
And so they had all this sexual innuendo around the conch, and conch was said many, many, many times.
Yes.
And then he turned to the camera at some point.
Nice conch.
Yes. All of that was there. And
hey, you grabbed a conch, right? You got a conch? How big is your conch?
No, it's not attractive. End of story.
So they went conch diving together. The two of them went conch diving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they said that conch's an aphrodisiac. It's an aphrodisiac, this guide told them. Mm-hmm. And, just ABC was playing with it. It was just a script.
Does he make, he's got to make the trip home, right?
I think so.
Because this is the guy you want, because he becomes a storyline that people are interested in here. Because I don't think this Bachelorette is doing quite as well.
No. Well, she later tweeted afterwards that people thought, you know, she was being rude for walking away when he made that very sensitive admission about himself. She says, I was just going to the bathroom. For the record, I think I just got up to go to the bathroom.
That's when
and
you,
throw up.
That's when you get up, go to the bathroom, and text your girlfriend, help, 911.
Show up here and get me out of this.
Say there's an emergency.
Oh, my God.
People
right.
are really mad at her for that.
All right, okay. May I go back to yes. the essential question here?
Well, okay. We're talking about the Bachelorette.
Okay, but if you were on a date in your mid to late 20s, let's say, whatever, you're 26, he's 26, whatever, and or anywhere, at any time, and you were on the date and the guy did that, does that make him more or less attractive? It's a simple question.
I think at that age, it's very surprising.
And less
you might
attractive.
Expect, you might
thank
expect
you, Judy. Experience. I was looking for Judy.
And
finally.
Here's the thing. You know what, though? What would have been attractive? I don't have a lot of experience. I haven't had a lot of girlfriends. You know, that's...
Even that's a lie, though. I mean,
but that, whoa. I would get that. But to say that, and then on national TV, and I mean, and if it was an angle, I don't get it. I don't get what the angle was, because there's no benefit to that in my book.
Ratings. We're talking
ratings.
About it.
Maybe if they wanted to just, yeah.
That's what I mean. It's the Rose agents who comes to him and says, Colton, listen.
Baby, yeah, darling, sweetheart, Bubby. Listen. Bubby, here's what you're going to do. You are going to say that you are a virgin.
Yeah. You're a football star. People will buy it.
Right. It's going to be great because it's playing against type. It's a perfect thing for you to do.
Throw America
it's
for a loop.
It's rating, it's Bafo ratings.
So you worked really hard on football. No times for girls.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, the
Tribune. That's where I lose it, because in my experience, it's football and girls. That's yeah. the two are
hand in hand.
Exactly.
Yeah, but if you're just in the gym pumping iron, I mean, there's a whole other. I think there's a lot going on there.
No, you know, it's like any sport. There's always those girls who hang around. Are you kidding me?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I get it.
There has to be a reason he hasn't done it yet.
Understand why this is ridiculous. I get it. But if
and his name is Colt. Come on.
Colton.
If he's making this... I'm just going to assume, again, for the sake of this argument, that he's telling the truth. If, in fact, that is the case, does he think Anna is saying it's a very, very intimate disclosure.
I think it would be, because it'd be looked at as being weird in some ways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think
anytime you're revealing something about yourself that stands out as being unusual or weird, it's tough.
Well, it would have been even weirder if he was like, and I want you to be my first.
Well, I was wondering if that was coming next.
Look, I think he is a virgin, because otherwise, do you think he can put that out there and not the women who have actually maybe had sex with him in his past wouldn't come out right now on social media and say something?
Yeah.
I think it would have happened already.
That's true. Are you kidding me? And then it would have all been out there.
Yeah, right, Colton. Right.
With sexts and all the other stuff that would be out there, and pictures of his junk and, you know, all the kinds of things that the kids do these days.
That stuff.
Give it a day.
No, I think it would have happened by now. I'm with Ann on that. I think it would have happened last night at 9 o'clock.
Right.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Well, I got hit in the head a lot.
For about the half dozen girls in Bloomington.
Yeah, right. About the 30 women I slept with that one night. Yeah, so I forgot about that.
It was a sorority party. That's what you do.
But I just think it's an interesting thing, because I'm assuming that it is real and that he really is. And I just think if I were a, I think that would raise a lot of red flags. Yeah. A lot of red flags. Yeah.
I think some girls though want to would like being like the dominant. Like, oh, I'm gonna be the one showing him or teaching him. Some girls, I don't know.
Some girls.
Some girls. My friend. Some of my friends. Right, like my one of my friends.
I don't know.
She's trying to recuse herself from this conversation already. You are like a Department of Justice official right now. I don't know.
I don't recall.
I don't think I should comment on this. I really don't. All right. I think Judy is the one who finally told the truth. Yes, does not.
Well,
I don't think this helps
you guys. Would that mean something to you guys if a girl said that? If it was reversed?
Yeah, for a guy, I think it means a lot more.
I think so. Is that true?
Because guys want their girls.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends.
I mean, what are we talking about? Like in my mid-20s? I would find that to be kind of weird, yeah.
weird and
I would just
exciting,
be worried that I would just be worried that if I was the first, I'm like, okay, she's gonna want to like marry me after this, you know?
She's gonna be clingy.
Yeah, it's gonna. There's that.
I mean, I respect people that wait, but it's just a little. It would just. It's just different.
I don't believe people, even my friends, who tell me they. I'm like, what are you talking about? Really?
From the 815, you're missing the more obvious angle. ABC is setting up Colton's storyline to be the next Bachelor.
Whoa.
The Virgin Bachelor.
That's
the Virgin Bachelor.
Think about
bachelor.
That for
That's
a second.
Wrong.
Oh, that
this is the Virgin America needs.
Well, this purity. Is a moment. I mean, it is 1956 all over again.
Right.
So we might as well, just totally embrace this now.
Let's roll with it.
And now we have to be virgins, and we're having and in Trump's America, it is so ironic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy who's so famously cheated on his wives and slept with everything that moved, and it's like, and he's now the sinecure of virtue and chastity. It's like, how did this happen?
I don't know.
It's pretty wild.
It is pretty wild, but then you have Mike Pence, who if can't sign a deal with him, they get Mike Pence the Virgin Bachelor. I mean, he would be the perfect guy.
He would. I don't want to say it. Forget it.
Say it.
What?
Say
I was
it.
Saying. I'm not gonna accuse him of this, but I want to ask generally. If you talk about steroids and sports, doesn't that create
impotence?
Problems or no?
I don't want to say Redbird football player would
no.
And
I'm not going to say that about him.
But would that? You're asking the question generally.
Does that?
Would,
yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know.
Why is everybody all of a sudden? We talk about everything that happens.
Everyone's clamming up, and
everybody's like, I can't talk about this right now.
To unpack. Like, if a girl told me she was a virgin, right? And
yes.
And then if we were on a date, a lot of things would be going through my mind. I'd say, okay, well, that's cool because I could be the first. But also, two, I know if I am the first and she's waited till she's 27, 28, 29, she's probably going to want to marry me. Or at least be with me in a serious relationship. So it'd have to be like, what mindset am I in? Am I in relating to get in this long-term relationship? Or is this
now we've determined it's a very, very important thing. Let's not make fun of that. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
Well, that's
it's
what I said. I respect anybody
who it's
waits,
so important
it's...
that it's freaking us all out. That someone would admit
I
it
do
and
know
like,
a girl
oh,
I don't think so.
That.
I think everybody's just trying to hide their own experience here.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
I have a story, but it's not about me.
Okay.
Oh, sure. Okay.
your
imaginary
girl,
friend.
No, it is really about a friend who took someone's virginity, a guy's virginity, and... you know, we always looked at him kind of like a loser.
Really?
Wait, she took it and then told everyone?
Yeah.
Well,
do you
because
take it? Is that really
she didn't deserve
because
that,
he wasn't
true?
Quite because I mean, there's the awkwardness of this whole event. I think everyone can think back and think about the first time sort of moment, and it's a clunky, awkward experience.
Everyone tries to act like an expert.
So now I think that's why Becca. The Bachelorette was like, oh, crap. What am I? Now I got
to. It's a lot to unpack. That's why I almost kind of get why she got up.
Why she got up and walked out.
Yeah. Process this.
Yeah, I don't
like
I don't want to.
First timers.
Like, don't. I mean, because the producers told me we want to keep this guy. We want to move him to the next level because I'm trying to be a good star on The Bachelorette. But in the meantime, now I'm going to have to train this guy on this? I mean, are you kidding me? And he's like a big dude. He was a football player. And does he have, you know, is it like pea shoots down there? What's going on? All right.
Anyway. Oh, God, don't come to me. Don't come to me.
I won't. Is it? All right. Let's check
transition.
With Violetta. Let's do Violetta's traffic first.
All right. Okay, sure. I'll go. Right now, the Eisenhower is busy in both directions. It's about an hour either way between 390 and the old post office. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Violetta Podrumetic in WGN Traffic Central.
Judy, you're prepared to tell us what's coming up in the news?
I certainly am. If you're trying to quit smoking, you might want to put out that e-cigarette.
Oh.
Especially if you're a virgin.
You know, I'll tell you something right now. I smoke these things 23 hours a day. And then Marlboro Reds the last hour.
All right. Thank you, Judy. Chicagoland is heating up your summer by heating up your backyard. But given one lucky listener a sizzling backyard makeover, including a 14-foot diameter patio, wood-burning fire pit to cozy up to all year round, and everything's made with Belgard's Rin Laziano Armadino-style paving stones. I got those.
Nice.
I got those.
Those are very cool.
I got the Belgards.
They look awesome.
Real nice over by there. Mm-hmm. Go to WGNRadio.com/contest and enter for your chance to be the envy of your neighborhood. I got to tell you, it is the truth that now I live in a townhouse development. So it's it's like a street that's kind of a fake street, and it's got everybody's patios are all kind of next to each other.
Sure.
In little gated off areas, and since I redid my deal. People, in my development, which, I'm roundly hated, as I, as one would imagine I would be, as a neighbor, the people come and they stare, and they're like,
they gawk.
They gawk. There's lurkers when, looking at the stuff that's going on. Now, Thursday, we're having a party.
Woohoo!
We're having a deck party on Thursday after the show.
Planning is in the works. Don't worry, people.
Right. Violetta's on it. This is always once a year I have everybody over to the house for this party once or twice a year. And this is the thing where I have to lock up rooms in my house. I don't even have locks on the doors. I have a locksmith coming to put locks on doors because when Violetta gets in the house, you never know what's going to happen.
You just
it's like
don't.
A pinball. She just bounces around your house.
Just right.
Like seeing everything.
And then she's got questions about things.
What's this? What's that? Where'd you get this? How much was this?
And you have very few answers. I'm concerned.
Well, you have too many questions. I put up baby gates, too, to see if it's keep her from certain floors.
That's horrible.
Kind of works.
Yeah. But she's found a way to hack the baby gate, which I
Well, the cabinet baby gate is kind of hard to get into.
That's true. And I've done that and all that. And next thing you're like, where's Violetta? And she's like, oh, last time I saw her, she's in Rose's bathroom. And like my master bath. And it's like, why would you be? It's at the top of the house.
For toilet paper.
There's no reason to be up there.
No.
All the action is on the first two
floors.
Totally
makes sense.
I had to go get some soap.
And she's up there and she's snooping through things. And then I find her in my closet. Like, going through things, counting the cash.
She did know the contents of your closet, your refrigerator, your freezer, your cupboards.
Well, that's mostly because you left me there on Halloween to pass out the candy. Remember we did that on
Yes, I do remember that. But I had someone with you there. There was one of our other employees there.
We had a lot of space. They lost me within the first, 3 minutes.
Weren't you, just squeezing, chocolate syrup onto kids' hands because Rowan had no candy in his house?
He had no candy, and they passed up the baby carrots and the Greek yogurt. So then I was like, oh, I have some chocolate syrup. You want that? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, I don't have a... And then before I even knew it, their hand was out, and I just started,
One of the reasons that my neighbors hate me. One
imagine.
Of the many.
I was like, hey, can you eat that before you get back to your mom down those stairs? Thanks.
And so we have this, so we're going to have this assemblage on Thursday night at this, and we'll be taking pictures and putting that up. And then we'll be giving away that, essentially that same setup.
How cool is that? Love your fireplace. That's just so...
The fire pit.
Fire pit.
My fire pit.
The outdoor fire pits with the glass.
It really calms everyone down.
It does.
It's not you. If you want to go to WGNRadio.com/contest, you can sign up to win this thing.
Huge.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, it's very nice.
And we decided on Thursday you wanted a Rager theme, correct?
We're going to invite more people this year.
Concrete cowboy theme.
Yes.
Boris is going to come DJ and pour shots for us.
Imagine how the party would be if Boris got to show up.
I mean, fog machine.
Very different.
Strobe light and roast.
He's got dancers that just follow him.
I'll bet.
Get the shots, Boris.
Hey, your neighbors already don't like you. Also. What
Boris,
could happen?
When and Boris, for an outdoor party, does Boris wear socks with his sandals?
Sunglasses at night, question.
Yeah.
Yeah, sunglasses all day.
Right. All day, all night.
I mean, his
indoor,
day starts
outdoor.
At 3 p.m., so I don't know.
I didn't see much sun.
What time does Boris go to bed? Like 9 in the morning, you figure?
Yeah.
Something like that?
I'm
8 in the morning?
Yeah, like 7.
After everybody's, after it's all done.
He wants to get home before rush hour for the morning commute, so.
Right. Does he prefer the winter when the sun comes up later? Because it just, it doesn't depress him. It's like, when the sun comes up at 5 o'clock in the morning, does it mess up part the back half of his night?
I'm not sure.
You'd have to ask him.
I would have to ask him, but he doesn't say much.
I think it's just interesting how much everybody's clamming up on the show today. It's like it's like the feds are listening to us.
Are they? Blink twice if I can speak.
Damn it.
You're asking about some
Boris is not at
topics.
The club. He's at the gym. Right,
yeah, he works out really late.
I'm a virgin. And I'm normally at the gym a lot late.
He goes to the gym at like 10:30 at night. And then I'm like, oh, okay, so you're not going out. No. We'll be going out in like an hour and a half. I'm like, what?
That's Boris, late. I just didn't picture a gym guy. He seems sort of a scrawny, pale guy. Doesn't see a lot of stuff.
No, he's fit.
All right, good for Boris.
So are we confirming Boris will be at the party or Boris not invited?
You know, he kind of does his own thing.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm prepared for Boris.
Yeah. I'm not sure Boris will live up to everything we put on him.
I think the patio party on the nice architect is not necessarily his scene.
You think Violetta roaming your house is bad, right? TV's going to be missing off the wall with Boris snooping around. Anybody seen my 70-inch flat-screen TV? It's like a Boris
there were
trunk
five guys
as he speeds away.
There were five guys with a wrench. Literally, I walk back in and all the TVs will be gone. And it's like, what happened to the TVs?
What TV?
We saw a repairman walk out with four of them.
What TV? Talking about?
Your crazy
stereo's gone.
Right. Like, go up into the kitchen and the living room, and it's just wires hanging out of a wall.
Your oven's gone. He's taking.
I was sitting right here. How did that happen? Guys in thin leather jackets and 90-degree heat and bald heads.
Right.
Yeah. Like, just jamming things into the back of a van or SUVs.
We didn't know Roe was moving. What's happening?
SUVs with livery plates, which is the funniest thing, because that's what they do when they're not actually, you know, picking up rides.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, they got that going. All right. Did you see? Hold on. I got a Johnny Depp story, but let's do the traffic here with Violetta. Actually, we'll find out from Judy what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour, and then traffic with Violetta, get people home.
Several of the boys rescued from that cave in Thailand now fighting off pneumonia.
Traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN TV News at 5, 6, 9, and 10.
That's her buddy right there, Joe Donlin.
Has he been calling you lately? You're the principal news anchor at WGN TV,
he
Joe
calling,
Donlin.
But he's definitely been thinking.
Yeah, definitely. And he's just busy.
He's busy, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem.
News isn't going to deliver itself. Joe's there for you.
But you guys are going to play golf with him again sometime.
Oh, of course.
Too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's thinking about like a tea time for us and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he'll reach out to
Maybe you should invite him to the deck party, too.
Oh, yeah,
deck party on. Come on over. Oh, you know, I would, but I'm really busy. I've got that thing.
That's fine, Joe. We'll get you next time.
What about the next night? We'll move the party for you.
Sort of like
all right, wait, hold on a second. This is actually a good test to see what kind of a dear friend Joe Donlin is to me and Kev.
Yeah.
Now that we're golfing buddies.
Oh, yeah.
You guys golfed with him, was it one time?
Yeah, one time.
And not even for 18 holes. It was more like 9.5 holes.
But you bonded really a lot during that
time. It felt like a lifetime.
Yeah, and he was like, okay, we got to go now. And it was like, no, we had the show, but he was like, you know what? I think it's time for us to all go.
I got to prep. You know, I got to prep. I got to do about 5 hours of prep a day. I got to go.
I don't know. I don't know why he didn't want to golf with
you. We'll come with you. We'll go prep.
We'll help you prep.
No, that's okay. You guys stay here. You guys keep playing, and I'll see you later.
I normally head over to Bradley Place after this show and just hang outside.
No, that's okay.
By
that,
his car.
No, that's okay. Listen, I'd like to. And he was walking out backwards, like he was, so you couldn't really see the
just
thing.
Just keeping an eye on you to make sure you weren't following.
All right, bye.
But that's always a good sign.
You have a good bond. I mean, this is going to go somewhere. That's a real big friendship.
Can you look at the Channel 9 schedule? Do they have a baseball conflict on Thursday night?
Oh, because you think there's
Well, there's no games.
Oh, there's no games.
Yeah.
All right, well, at least now we know he can't use that excuse.
Cubs aren't playing either?
No, Cubs are out of town. Cubs are out of town.
Well, we can invite him anyway.
Maybe he'll take the day off for you guys.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, Joey, I know you just started, but can you take the day off to come to our deck party?
I'm having a deck party, you know.
This is no ordinary deck party, Joe. It's going to be a raid. Boris might make an appearance, Joe. Maybe you can be Boris.
That's always a good selling line.
Yeah, I think everything's gone very badly here. I just honestly
don't worry about anything, Ro. We'll be there promptly at 7:15.
Are there going to be cabbage rolls, Violetta?
Yes, oh, yeah. I'm talking to Mama Pod.
Your people?
Yeah, to my people. My dad, good. Little Bookerist, will offer some stuffed cabbage, and we're working on the rest of the menu.
Will Bronco be coming?
You know, he can drop off the stuff and say hello.
Oh, nice.
If you must.
Be good to see Bronco.
Yeah.
Shows up in his big Cadillac with a trunk full of...
Yeah,
Bronco comes into my house, wheels. And unlike Violetta, who is just snooping throughout the house, looking for any kind of detail that she can try to get out of my personal life, mm-hmm. then her father comes by and tells me what's broken in my house.
Yeah, he goes, hey, listen, I just told Ro about that step. I got a guy who can... I'm like...
Right.
Dad, you did not already tell him that. He goes, no. He said he's fine with it. I'm going to send the guy over on Monday.
That's what he goes, I fix this. You have some rust right there. I fix this. I have a guy.
And he's like licking his finger, licking the rust. I'm like, Dad, stop.
Bronco's the ultimate I got a guy guy.
I got that fixed, by the way.
He's trying to help you.
I got everything fixed now. He's got nothing that he can... that I see crack in the wall. I have a guy...
He wanted to help you improve your life. He could take care of things.
I was like, yeah. Hey, how about from now on, if you talk to Ro, you talk to me first. Capiche?
I don't know what's going on there.
It was like an extortionate threat that she just, on her own day.
And he's like, he liked it. Don't worry. I'm like, oh God.
So it is an interesting thing when because I believe that the Podrumatic family is its own reality show.
I do too.
We're definitely a circus. Yeah. We're a show. We're characters.
Yes, that's what's happening right there. All right. Well, anyway, so that's going to be on Thursday. Did you see that Johnny Depp changed his tattoo on his hand again?
No. What
he had an Amber Heard tattoo.
Oh, yeah, that had to go.
That was Slim, S-L-I-M, on each finger. So if you make a fist and you point your fist at someone, it would read from left to right, Slim. Well, during the divorce, he changed that to Scum. S-C-U-M. Oh. He turned the L into a
bitter
C and then the I into a U. And now he's apparently even more mad, and he changed the U to an A. So now it's Scam.
Whoa.
But he used the anarchist A because that is the only way artistically to do it based on everything else that was going on there.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on there. So it's Scam. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And the actor's Hollywood Vampires bandmate, Tommy Henriksen, posted a photo of this online just to promote their show. Who's going to go see Johnny Depp and the Hollywood Vampires?
I don't know.
Do anything. What
is it, him mumbling into a microphone dressed up as a pirate? Getting in a fight with people in the crowd.
He basically, the whole thing, he was doing Keith Richards. That was like the pirate was based on Keith Richards. Mm-hmm. But he's like Keith Richards without any of the musical talent.
He's like a character of Keith Richards.
Yes. And not a good one.
No.
I love Johnny Depp, though. I think he's had some troubles lately, obviously. The only thing you hear about him now is getting in fights. He just punched somebody on the set of the Notorious B.I.G. He had those issues with Amber, but he's a very talented actor, and it's like...
Is he, though?
I think so.
I used to be. Now I'm sort of a one-trick pony.
I liked him in Public Enemy. That was good.
That's the worst movie he was in.
Really?
Yes.
I loved it.
Oh, God.
It's a love story.
With a Gatling gun or the Tommy gun or whatever. Yeah, it's a love
Bye,
story.
Little bird. Come on. Straight to the heart.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I really appreciate your fanship.
Well, he's got a history doing this. You'd have to go in the Wayback Files before the kids were even born. But remember when he was with Winona Ryder and he had the Winona Forever thing? Tattoo on, and then he changed it when they broke up to Wino Forever. So he did the same thing. Just don't get tattoos.
I do like to change tattoos because it's sort of a living piece of art. If you know what I mean. I'm going to now sing a song for you.
Oh, good. Thanks, Johnny.
What I do
at the concert. I don't me introduce self love and paste. I've been around for a long, long year. I don't know. Hold on, this is a good part coming out. I was brown when Jesus. Oh, I forgot those words. You guys are going too fast for me. Hold on. Damn sure slow it up. Here we go. Seal his face. Faith. Please forgive me. Pleased to meet you. No, that's the wrong words. Hope you guess my name. Oh, my name. Oh, yeah. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Oh, my game. It's too much here. I can't remember.
Missing a lot of words there, Johnny.
I'm leaving now. I hope you all enjoyed the show.
Boy.
Freebird!
Oh, I think I know that song. Hold on. Look at that. I don't know that song either.
Better not try it, because, you know, it could go badly.
Some drunk idiot yelling at another drunk idiot on the stage, telling him to play Freebird.
By the way, you should take that shirt off, because Puerto Rico is not even a country. Why are you wearing that shirt? You're an American. You should actually be wearing an American shirt as opposed to Puerto Rico. Where is Puerto Rico?
All right. Thank you.
Poor Johnny.
Thank you, Johnny. Johnny's about as lucid as that guy was, so it makes total sense. All right.